And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I'll ever know. There's no way I can ever go. No, no, there's no way. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you. I'm not living without you. I don't wanna be free.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. Gleeful, a Glee podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed, talking about the fall season finale sectionals. Yes, we opened up with Amber Riley saying that she's not going anywhere, but Glee is going somewhere.
No.
Did you like that seg? That was a good one.
That was pretty, yeah. Pretty epic.
Smooth.
Transition
there.
Yeah. So epic, I had to point it out. So welcome. We apologize for getting to the show so late, but so holidays
are hard.
There's
such a break. It doesn't really even matter.
That's
we're just true. We're just making the sectionals love last a little bit longer.
There we go. Yeah, holidays are insanity right now. But we can talk a little bit about that next week. They did the Glee cast released. Which song is it, Ed? Last Christmas or this Christmas?
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas. I gave you my heart. The very
yeah.
next
oh, no,
day.
No, now you're making me question it. I thought it was Last Christmas, but now I don't know. Give me three shakes of a turtle, and I will tell you.
Three shakes of a turtle? Why are you shaking turtles? Well, we want to thank everybody who's emailed
last
us.
Last Christmas. Sorry.
Last Christmas.
Yes.
All right. You gave me your heart.
Yes.
Or I gave you my heart. And the very next day you gave it. So yes, we want to thank everybody who's emailed us and for taking a part in the Gleeful show. You've all been amazing. We've gotten an avalanche of email, almost more than I've been able to read, which is incredible. So thank everybody for that. Lots of people suggesting some great songs, as Ed had asked in the past. Hey, what songs would you guys like to see the cast perform? We did have Kelly sent an email saying that she would like Ken and Will to duet The Girl Is Mine, made famous by Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
Wow.
Yes.
That could get interesting.
And I'm unable to find... Oh, here's another one from listener Garrett, who said Kurt should sing Micah's song Toy Boy. I'm unfamiliar with that one. Ed, do you know that song?
I do know... Mika, but I do not. That sounds like it's something from a second album, and honestly, I haven't given that a listen yet.
There you go.
I will, though, one day. Soon.
Also a lot of email about Idina Menzel, who has said she will be on the show but will not be playing Rachel's mother.
Right. She's apparently going to be the director of
Vocal Adrenaline.
Vocal Adrenaline, yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm like, what's her name again?
So that should be a lot of fun. That should definitely make my inner musical theater geek smile, which is not so inner.
And, no, you're cute that you call it inner.
I try. But yeah, so thank you for all that. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll thank some more of the emailers toward the end of the show. But it's been really great. Also, a lot of reaction to the cast doing My Life Would Suck Without You. I think that was a song that people were really excited to hear on the show this week.
True.
Yeah. So I guess we could just jump right into our discussion of sectionals, the fall finale. Fall finale, right, Ed? Because they're coming back in March?
April 13th.
April 13th. So we will have to figure out what we are going to talk about between now and April 13th. And if the show had not been picked up as it was, this would have been the season finale or even series finale if it hadn't been
And successful. Honestly, I think I think it did. Like, as a unit, these 13 episodes do tell a story. I mean, obviously, there's more to be told.
Yes.
But you don't, like, if it were to just end, I wouldn't feel empty. I'd feel like this was a really nice, long movie. Yeah. That's how I would have came away from it.
I was thinking the exact same thing. As someone who watches a lot of TV shows that don't make it past their first season, or, you know, certainly don't make it to several seasons, I was thinking this would have been a fine... If the show had ended here, I would have been okay.
Oh, yeah. I think that this season got a better send-off than a lot of our favorite shows got... After 6 years.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of depressing. But yeah, I could see how maybe they shot it and then just edited it slightly different so that it will now continue. But I just thought it was amazing. I mean, it was so much of what I wanted it to be. And I rewatched it again today and I still got goosebumps with the performances. I still got teary eyed watching them. It was amazing.
Side note, Jen, when Josh started playing, and I'm telling you, for the first 2 seconds, I was like, OMG, is that Jen? Just side note. I was like, wow, this is really good.
Wow, thank you.
She's on fire. I totally forgot. The other thing that we have to mention on the show is how many people emailed us to say that that was, in fact, Brittany in the jump number.
I said that. I was like, she looks weird with her hair down, and then it won.
I mean, she looks dramatically different with her hair down. And thank you. Was it Michael who sent in the screenshot?
I believe it was Michael who sent in a screenshot, which was amazing.
I was like, okay.
Listener Zan from Minneapolis, who'd said they watched the episode 20 times and went on the forum and put the question to the forum. Mea culpa, it was Brittany, and I'm sorry I ever...
No. I mean, we even said last week that, you know... I watched it pretty closely and I was pretty sure it wasn't her. But if people had to watch it a couple of times and ask other people, I guess it was, she looked different enough that other people had a question. So
you look different. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely with her hair down. But honestly, like to the listeners, I often forget when I listen to my favorite podcast, how much work goes into doing a podcast. And we all three of us do two. Ed, I think you technically do three even. And you don't make any money and no one outside of our, you know, closest friends even knows we do it. but what keeps us going is the email and the response and the iTunes reviews and everything. So thank you guys so much. It's really just amazing that you do that.
I mean, and they make me a better viewer.
They do.
I'm a much more cautious, attentive viewer and it's a lot of fun.
Yes, definitely. Super. Go ahead, Ed.
I was saying it's super fun. I don't know. I feel like you summed it up very well. So
thank you. Also, if you'd like to involve yourself further in the show, listeners, you can visit our website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. And we do have a store on there, so you can buy all of your Glee needs for the Christmas, all of your gifts.
To tide you over through the next 4 months.
Exactly. So check that out. And, you know, it will help us pay a bit for some of the costs of the show, which with the success of the show are kind of awesome. So
it would be definitely very awesome if you were going to buy the season DVD anyways, to buy it through our store. Don't do it if you weren't going to do it.
Yeah, we're certainly not convincing anyone if you were
going to do it, it'd be kind of nice because it doesn't cost you anymore. I checked.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, I bought all of our Glee wares through the store. So
nice.
But anyway, so yes, let's go ahead and dive right into sectionals. This has kind of been what we've been building to all season. The plot being if they don't win sectionals, then they will have to dissolve the club because the president wants or the
principal
wants to rent out the theater for
Alcohol's Anonymous.
Yes.
they're paying $100 a head.
Yes. I suppose the show really started off with Quinn and Finn and Puck and Rachel, the love, I guess, pentagon, if you include Kurt. And so let's go ahead and start there. This was the episode where the big news came out and Rachel actually told Finn that it was not his baby. It was, in fact, Puck's baby. It actually started really funny with the group debating.
Yeah, I love the cell phone scene. I thought that montage was very well done.
Yes. That was great. I had to watch that a couple of times because everybody just had such great reactions to all the different storylines and the things that were coming out. And, you know, classic Britney with some great one-liners.
Oh,
and...
God. Well, Britney's, yeah. Britney's like, line.
I love Britney's line. Like, if sex was if dating was just sex, me and Santana have been dating for a long time now.
It was as sex as dating. Yeah, it was very odd.
It was so well done. That was so much fun.
It was a great moment. And then Rachel did find out that it was Puck's baby. And how did Rachel find out? Jennifer, you watched it this afternoon.
Well, she was kind of suspicious because they had a little flashback scene where Quinn slips on the floor and both Finn and Puck run over to her aid. And I think she had it. I mean, if Finn told other people how he supposedly got her pregnant, other people had to have known.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he didn't. I think she was just being suspicious.
Yeah, she and was really.
That's why she put up the disease that Jewish people apparently carry.
Right.
And then got.
Oh,
and then,
yes.
So yes. when Quinn was doing the was talking to Puck about it, Rachel was like, check. For sure.
Yeah.
That's right. The Jewish baby disease.
Oh, but I loved in the very beginning when she comes to the crowd and she was like, I'm a little bit psychic. Don't be scared. It's not like Carrie or anything. And what else did she say? She's like, I'm a little bit psychic. I can't read minds yet, but I've got a sixth sense. It's just hysterical.
So she did tell Finn. I have such a love-hate relationship with the way Rachel acts because she is talking to Finn and saying like, hey, I'm just doing this because I'm your friend and I feel that you should know. But she's also just so incredibly selfish in doing so. I mean, I don't know that a real friend would have imparted that information, but.
Yeah, you know. I think a real, like, this has been a source of debate amongst me and my friends, but I do believe that if you find out that your friend's lover has been lying to you, it's kind of like a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she does say once it all comes out and once everybody kind of takes off, she goes and finds Quinn and she says to Quinn, I'm really sorry I initially did it because I thought if I told Finn, then that would break you two up and then I could have him. And then Quinn says, yeah, but now neither of us have him. So, we still never got to see how Finn reacted to Rachel for having told him.
That's a good point. I mean, they never really, the two of them never really had a moment after that, except about business, you know, except
yeah.
about.
Well, we never had a moment where Finn had that big revelation. We cut into the scene of Finn beating up on Puck.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
that was crazy.
I feel like maybe, I'm not saying this was the easy way out, but maybe it wasn't, there wasn't a really good way of writing that scene, so they thought they decided to do it like this, or maybe everything else is so like negative in that episode, the whole situation, that they just didn't want that drama fest, that first reaction. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a reason why they chose to do what they did.
Actually, I think the other thing too is Finn was probably in such shock, and his initial anger is towards Puck and Quinn. Mm-hmm. So like he probably even hasn't even processed yet how he feels about Rachel for having spilled the beans. Mm-hmm. But he was just so angry. But it was nice to kind of see Finn have that emotional outbreak.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain, being in that situation, I would think, like, not only is there a certain anger, but there's also a certain loss. Like, he had to come to terms with the fact, and you know, I'm sure part of him had grown attached to the fact that he was going to be a father and hopefully in some way look forward to it. And so not only is there the anger of being lied to and the anger of you know, being cuckolded, but just the sense of loss of, like, here's something that I actually probably part of him was looking forward to.
Yeah.
It was a very complex thing, and I mean, if I had any complaint about the episode, it would have been nice to get a little deeper into some of these complex emotions, yeah.
But so much to fit in this episode.
Oh yeah, yeah. And that's totally. But since now we're immediately going to be taking this 3-month break, I don't know that we're ever going to get a chance to get into the more complex layers.
Deleted scenes emotions. From the season DVD.
There you go. That could absolutely be it. I mean, but honestly, I'm not a big fan of the 2-hour season finale.
Oh.
So I'm very happy that they just did the hour. They packed it all in and just, you know, made it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could have used another 20 minutes. Like, if they did one of those supersized episodes that, you know, the NBC was doing for a while, I could have used that because a few things were glossed over. But, I mean, everything they crammed in there was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that, but let's take a moment here and listen to some music from the show. They eventually did get to sectionals, and they needed someone to do a solo. Eventually, Rachel did take that solo, as we all knew that she would. And she performed Don't Rain on My Parade, which I'm... Yeah.
Barbra Streisand.
Yes. and so let's go ahead and give a listen to Lea Michele performing Don't Rain on My Parade. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly. I've simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? How much am I banned out? I'll beat my drum. And if I'm fanned out, your turn at that, sir. At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether on the rose of sheer perfection, a freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the cinder or the shiny apple of its eye, I gotta fly once, I gotta try once, only can die once, right, sir? Oh, life is juicy, juicy, and you see I gotta have my bite, sir. Get ready for me, love, 'cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march, my heart's a drummer. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. I'm gonna live and live now. Get what I want, I know how. So, yes, eventually they did make it to sectionals, though Finn said that he would not be accompanying the group to sectionals, and so that left them one person down. They recruited the reporter kid, whose name I can never remember.
Is it Jacob or Jason?
But it doesn't matter, Creeper.
Just... Yes.
Creepy perv guy.
But he was awesome. He was just saying, like, yeah, I'm just there to get into Rachel's pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, just at least stand in the back and don't sing out loud. were you saying, Ed?
At least he's upfront about it.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, he's always very open about his intentions, and they're always bad. But okay, I'm kind of sorry we glossed over this before, but Mercedes' performance was amazing.
Yes,
it was the best, most passionate song that I think has been in the entire series so far. This Rachel one, I think, is
really?
Second best.
Really?
Yeah, I
the
thought
most?
It was amazing.
I'm not willing to say that yet. I don't know. I can't think of one right now that's better than it, but I don't want to say that. That's a very bold statement.
I'm just saying that's my opinion. I just think the performances in this episode were incredible. They were on a different level for me, and maybe it was just all of the other emotion of the storylines coming together, but I just thought these performances were so great.
I definitely enjoyed them both. I don't know that I would have classified really either of them as being best of the season, but excuse me. But I did think that they did save some great moments for this last episode.
Yeah, yes, I do agree with that.
So they did eventually make it to sectionals. Finn said that he was not going to perform with the group, and then was eventually talked into performing by Mr. Schuster. Finn is such a fascinating unit in this group. He's kind of this reluctant leader who keeps getting dragged in. You know, Mr. Schuster, who's kind of like, hey, you're going to do this now. I know you don't want to, but you're going to do this.
He's easily manipulated that way.
Yeah. Yeah, there's times where I kind of wonder if Finn would be better off if he was just left alone. But he's constantly having all of these kind of goals thrust on him by other people. It is just interesting to see the way that he's treated throughout the show. But he did come back, and they were able to make it to sectionals. The sectionals performance was pretty fantastic because he came in, Finn showed up at the last minute and brought in the new songs that he'd prepared. You can't always get what you want. Did you predict that song, Ed, that they were going to perform that song?
Well, it was on the soundtrack.
Oh, that's
it?
Right. Yes, because earlier in the show, when Mr. Schuster was trying to convince Finn to go, he said, well, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah, when he said that, I knew already going into it that there were three tracks on the, or there was four tracks, and I'm telling you, Don't Rain on My Parade, you can't always get what you want, and my love would suck without you. I knew all four were in that episode somehow. So, and then I think what's really interesting about this, which this is a listener pointed this out, Finn said life sucks at the end of his speech with the dialogue with Finn and Mr. Schuster. Oh. And that to me, like both those lines were foreshadowing, which a listener pointed this out. I don't know the name, but I do know it was a listener.
So Ed, what did you think of sectionals? The performance, the whole sectionals competition.
I think my favorite part was when the Jane Addams Academy was, and I'm telling you, and mm-hmm. Rachel's like to Mercedes, well, that's a real popular song. And they're like, yeah, it is. And they're like, they believe that. But then the next scene is Proud Mary in wheelchairs. And like, it's like, oh no, she didn't.
And the deaf kids, doing the Journey song, Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, but, and then Rachel's like, meet in green room now!
But I love the part when Emma's on the phone with Schuster, and she's like, I don't know what we're gonna do. The kids are distraught, so-and-so just wet himself, and Artie keeps ramming himself into the wall.
Yes, and he was.
Artie's just running his wheelchair into the wall. It was hysterical.
You know, side note, why, like, okay. Mr. Schuster just went through a major emotional trauma, and he is very calm right now. Like, just in my opinion, like, the mental trauma he went through, I'd be dealing with that for at least a week. Like, and he's just, like, all better.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do bring up kind of the other big plot, is that while sectionals is going on, Mr. Schuster was unable to be there because he'd been disqualified in the last episode, and Emma postponed her wedding
for a couple of hours.
For a couple of hours, so that she could take the kids to sectionals,
and so that she didn't have to get married in daylight.
In daylight, yeah.
Well, there's a continuity error with this, because Ken Tanaka said that he had to be out of there by X time for yes. for the candlelight vigil.
Yes,
and yeah, they pushed it back. It's like
Well, you know, maybe they just meant that they were going after the candlelight vigil.
Yeah, I just thought it was just going to be a shorter reception or something like that. But obviously, it didn't go over with Ken, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll get to there. It was interesting. This was the episode where Mr. Schuster, listening to sectionals over the phone, it was kind of odd to see Mr. Schuster not there with the Glee kids. And yet at the same time, Matthew Morrison's performance in that scene, the way his face just glowed listening to them sing was really one of my favorite parts of the entire episode. And the pride that he took in listening to those performances over the phone.
It was, I got chills again and started tearing up. Yeah, he was so moved by that. And I think because of everything that was going on in his personal life, I think he was able to just thrust himself into this and give this his full attention. I mean, it was probably a welcome distraction to be dealing with this and being there for his kids, even if he couldn't be there in person. And it was just, it was so moving watching him.
Yeah. It was a really special moment. It was also kind of funny to watch Emma try to be a leader, because she doesn't really seem to be in much of a kind of broader leadership role. But it was entertaining to see her attempt to guide the children and attempt to be good.
Oh, and Brittany getting nervous because she's the one that she had to talk to when she got caught keeping the bird in her locker.
Oh yeah,
remember the beginning of the episode.
Yes, that was pretty classic. So it did turn out that the other competing schools stole the songs just as Sue said she would, or just as Sue gave them the list, and we had a debate about whether or not they were actually going to do the songs and to cheat. That was a really hard scene for me, listening to Emma give that speech to them, saying no.
I think honestly, on some level, even though we know these characters, it would be hard for us to root against the deaf kids and the girls trying to make a chance in this world, a second chance in this world. Like, it'd be hard for us to root for the Glee kids. But since they cheated, You'd be like, we feel no remorse. So.
That's a really good point, Ed, actually. That's a really good point. This way we feel totally clean about the Glee Kids winning.
Yeah. And it's interesting, but that's not why they won.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know what? In rewatching it, the only thing that slightly disappointed me was the panel of judges had no...
I thought they were hilarious.
I thought they were hysterical. But I wanted it to be judges that were going to judge them on their merit and not just, you know, okay, the least the group that annoyed me the least is going to win.
Yeah, actually, that was another complaint I had about this episode is in the end, the Glee Kids didn't win based on all of their hard work and all of their, you know, coming together and working as a team. The whole theme of this show being that kind of be yourself and you will succeed. And in the end, the Glee Kids didn't win because of that. They won because the three judges, which I do agree were hilarious, just kind of gave it to the one that they thought was the least annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think about them, Ed?
Oh, well, that's how Miss Ohio fifth place put it. But
the girl from True Blood.
I felt like Rod, who we don't have much respect for, was, I think he might have been like the person who opted for that, like pushed for it. Like, obviously didn't see the whole scene, but I can imagine his character being, he liked them the best and possibly trying to get back at Sue. Like, who knows what's going on there exactly?
Yeah, it did. But I did wonder if his relationship with Sue was going to come up. Because when he's starting to talk about how, well, I am rather partial to the Rolling Stones, I thought he was going to say, I am rather partial to somebody at McKinley High. And so I didn't know if that was going to play into it. But I loved the way Emma stepped up. And it was just such an empowering moment for her. And, you know, we didn't know until later what was going to be happening with her. So at that moment, it was just really nice to see her have that strong moment and, you know, get it all off her chest.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look back at the music. Eventually, Finn did come and to kind of reunite the Glee Club. And since they had no songs to perform, they ended up doing Don't Rain on My Parade. They closed with Somebody to Love, which was not actually performed in the episode. And they did You Can't Always Get What You Want, the Rolling Stones song. So let's go ahead and take a listen to that. This was another kind of totally in the wheelhouse of this show, this particular song. It was very, very much the style of Glee. So if my computer wants to play it, we will listen to it.
I don't think it does.
I'm watching the spinning
pinwheel. You can't get what you want here.
There you go. And yet I find I have what I need. Jennifer and Ed.
Aww.
Yeah. Let's give a listen to You Can't Always Get What You Want. Here you go.
At the reception, a glass of wine in her hand. Oh, I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. I know you can't.
You can't always get what you want.
Oh, no, no, you can't.
You can't always get what you want.
What you want.
But if you try sometimes, well, you just might find. You get what you need.
Hey, hey, yeah.
You get what you need.
Oh,
baby.
And I went down to the demonstration to get my fair share of abuse. Singing with you.
We did forget the moment when Finn came in and he said, I found this sheet music on the internet and I made copies on the
yes.
Cheerios copier and I tore that thing up.
I destroyed it.
Yeah, I destroyed that thing.
Yeah.
So I guess the other big plot line, we've been waiting for it all season, and I quite frankly am shocked that it came after only 13 episodes. But Will left his wife, left Terry, in one of the more emotional scenes of the season, where he said, I look at you and I don't feel anything anymore.
Yeah.
I used to look at you and feel like it was home, and now I look at you and I don't feel anything at all.
See, I have a complaint about this.
Go ahead.
I thought, okay, when Emma turned down Will at her wedding reception thing, I thought that was perfect. And then when they were doing My Life Would Suck Without You, and then he ran to her office and it was empty, I thought that was where it should have, like, that's where it should have stopped. Like, it's, and I felt like, I thought, like, that's how it's supposed to be. Like, Emma's a stronger person than this, and then the way she just, like, threw all that like strength to the wind the second Will comes running up to her in the hallway. I mean, come on, like, well, what happened to you? Just left your wife. And as
you're right, after the perform, or that was when Will left his wife, was when he was getting ready for Emma's reception, and then he went to the reception and said, "Hey, I left my wife," and. She said, you know, I can't be with you. I have to leave because you did. Honestly, I have to agree with you on that one, Ed. I actually felt that it should have ended with her kind of leave, like with her denying, leaving. With Emma denying Will.
Yeah.
And that last kiss, as much as I was excited to see it, and eventually, yes, he did chase her down and they did kiss. As much as I was excited to see that last kiss, I agree with you, Ed. I thought that it felt, yeah, like she'd made such a great stand. Mm-hmm. And that was
I realized it was really happy, but think about how much more epically it would have been if the last scene was the ending lines of My Life Would Suck Without You and Will standing in Emma's empty office. I think that would have been such, like, I'm not saying that what happened next couldn't have happened next, but I think it should have been like the first scene of the next episode.
I agree. Yeah.
But it would have left people sad and
yeah. Or hopeful. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think anybody, I would have been more surprised if Emma had responded to him differently at her wedding.
Yes.
Which didn't happen. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed when they kissed so soon afterwards. But rewatching it again tonight, you know, and the kids are singing and he's running down the hall. It was just like, I just wanted it to happen. Like, I didn't care if it was wrong. I didn't care if it was too soon. I didn't care if it, you know, Emma wasn't being strong. I was just like, I wanted it. It was just so, I was just so swept up in the emotion of it all.
Well, it was a great moment, and it was definitely effective, and affecting. Like I said, we talked about this, I think, in like episode 2, where when Finn and Rachel kissed, and it was kind of shocking to see the two main characters kiss so early in the show.
Yeah.
Something that they usually drag out for years and years and years until Ross and Rachel finally get together in the season finale, series finale, and no one believes they're going to stay together. Look into your souls. But anyway, totally. Jennifer's giving me that look. But at the same, so it was, this show has always kind of broken the rules and said, we don't mind doing things quickly or maybe even too early. But at the same time, I did kind of feel like maybe it was too early. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the significance of Will and Emma kissing is a little bit more than, you know, Finn and Rachel. Finn and Rachel are, you know, high school students. You kiss, you know, enemies the next day, and then you can go a few weeks and be friends again and kiss again. You know, I mean, you can handle that more. But as adults, it's a little trickier.
What are you saying, Ed?
I think Katy Perry puts it best with, you kiss, you make up, you fight, you break, or you kiss, you break up, you fight, you make up. I don't know. Whatever. Not in cold. Think it's funny.
That's awesome.
I just realized that they are going to lose sectionals. The only agreement that Mr. Schuster had with, the principal Figgins is that they place at sectionals.
Oh, and so you think they're going to lose regionals?
They're going to lose regionals for sure. Without a doubt, Vocal Adrenaline is going to pwn them. And it's because when they do this in season 2, how different, like, I understand the plot line's going to be different, but how different are the situations going to be? Not that different. It's going to be sectionals and regionals. I mean, yeah, sectionals and regionals again.
Right.
So for in season two, like, they could come back and be like, we can beat Vocal and Adrenaline this time. So that is what I'm going to say, that they have already lost regionals just because it's season one.
So you think that the rest of the, you know, this was the fall season, and then once they get to what I guess is the, what, spring? No, yes.
Yeah, spring.
Spring season. The spring season will run up through regionals, and that they will lose in the end?
They will lose, and that will be how it ends for until season two.
I'll buy that.
Well, and also there's no pressure. I mean, there's pressure on themselves to win and keep their streak going and, you know, to be the best they can be, but there's no threat of the club being closed down.
No, the thing was place at regionals. Like, what is that? Like, that phrase, does that phrase imply first, second, third?
Oh,
like,
okay. Just, yeah.
So I think they have to at least get third. Mm-hmm. I think that's completely what is implied by it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we should, since one of my favorite things in this episode was Sue Sylvester finally getting some form of punishment.
Oh, I don't even hear about it. I'm just so mad that it happened. Sue Sylvester. This is not how Sue sees it.
Oh,
this is not.
It was awesome.
Not. Oh, I just love the way she denied it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, Sue, it came from your fax. So what? Can't prove it.
Yeah. It was in your handwriting.
It was on your letterhead. Circumstantial. Yeah. She's just so relentlessly evil.
Yeah, that was it. It was on your letterhead. I don't see the problem.
This is not how Sue sees it.
Eventually she was actually ousted from the Cheerios, which I knew she would be punished, but that was crazy. Like, I didn't think the principal was going to go that far with it.
Yeah, and he suspended her from the school, and she can't be around children.
Yeah.
I love that one. When she confronts Will in the hallway, and they go, you know, toe-to-toe, and she does her, you know, long build-up of a rant of a threat, and it's great. And then she walks away, and then she pushes students out of the way.
Yeah, she said, I'm going to go down to my house in Boca, and I'm going to come back a little bit browner.
Get a little tan on.
and I'm gonna take you down. So Sue is going to be coming back with a vengeance. But it was, I don't know. So, Ed, you like Sue so much that you were disappointed to see her get some kind of a comeuppance.
I didn't feel like this was
the worst thing she's done.
If you're going to hurt her, you need to do it epically. Royally, epically, I don't know what the term to use is, but this in the end just ended like, this is just going to be fuel for the fire. This wasn't anything that's going to actually hold her down.
But suspending her from Cheerios, that's huge. I mean, you're just...
No, I don't want to see. I don't even think of it like that. I think she's still going to be like, a background coaching somehow.
Oh, I don't want her to go away. I think this is the best way that she can still be around, but still be hurt, invisibly hurt. That was and visibly, not invisibly.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question is, if she was supposed to bring the Cheerios to, what, Arizona in 3 weeks, who's going to take over Cheerios?
Oh.
I was thinking that it was going to be Schuster, but I was like, that's stupid.
Nah,
Wait, who? Oh, Mr. Schuster? I think it's going to be Ken Tanaka. I think he's going to get... Or do you think they'll bring in somebody new?
What about Terry? She was on the cheerleading squad.
Terry.
That would put them back... Now, is Emma really gone from the school, like, for real? Or is that just, like, a ploy? A red herring?
I don't think she's gone. I think she's back.
Her stuff is packed.
Yeah, but
she had her box of goodies.
Well, yeah, like she packed it in like a day. She could unpack it in three.
Yeah, I'm with that on this one. I don't think she's going anywhere.
I don't know. No, I think. I mean, I don't think she can go away. Like, I think if you take her out of the school, it's going to be too difficult to bring her back or keep them around each other.
Yeah, it would be hard to keep her as a main character.
But
if she's not around.
But then if, you know, she and Will are, you know.
An item.
What about Ken?
So I don't know who, there's What was he, an artist? There's some artist, I think, in LA whose name is Ken Tanaka.
Ken Tanaka loves you.
And his business cards just say Ken Tanaka loves you.
Yeah, we picked it up at the Hello Kitty exhibit.
That's what it was.
I picked it up and I gave it to Josh.
So it's in my car, and every time I pick it up, I go, what? It's
you gotta, so weird. You gotta find his website.
There you go. Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to My Life Would Suck Without You, which was the last song performed in the show. The Glee Kids prepared it for Mr. Schuster as a thank you for everything that he'd done for them. And I think he needed the hug. Trivia on the TV.com page for Glee says that during the performance of My Life Would Suck Without You, the groups used dance numbers from previous numbers on the show.
Oh, didn't somebody write in about that too?
I didn't see it. Oh. But if yes, someone did,
someone wrote in about that. It was like a montage.
Yeah.
Camel. Wow. Lol cannon.
Let's give a listen. Here you go.
Like how much you wanted anyone but me. Said you'd never come back, but here you are again. 'Cause we belong together now, yeah. Forever united, we're somehow, yeah. You got a piece of me.
So that was a really fun number to see. I would assume you were counting the moments until that one, Ed.
You know, not really. My Life Would Suck Without You, just I heard it beforehand and I was like, oh, this isn't as special as I thought it was gonna be. So I hate to be such a Debbie Downer. But yeah. I wanted to be epic, but you know, I still love the show, but and I think it's great, but it's not perfection, and it's I'm going to call it the smile debacle of 09. The how it was so, it could have been so perfect, but it just ended up great. And that is how I feel about the show.
That's how you feel about this episode or the show in
just the show in general. And this is show in general. It could be so perfect, but it's just great.
But that's how you feel about Glee, or that's how you feel about this particular episode?
I feel about Glee. That's how I feel about Glee.
I have to agree. I do feel that they always get to like 90%, but they never quite like cap it.
I feel, I don't know why they do that to me. they're doing it to me on purpose. I know.
Oh, without a doubt.
Well, I guess I kind of felt like that with this episode, but I was still okay with it. I don't know. Still, I don't know if I can great. Handle the perfection.
Like, I'm not saying it isn't great. I'm just saying that it could have been.
Yeah.
I do think that it. Even though it's 90%, I still keep coming back for the songs and the music and the dancing and everything. Oh. And the personalities and the characters that I've just come to really adore.
I mean, they cram so much in there. There's each character is so unique, so fun, and so different. And I love it. And I love to rewind it and hear all the little, you know, the throwaway one-liners. And I know Artie had a couple of good ones in the very beginning.
He did.
And it's just... It's so much fun, and yeah, I mean, actually, this episode for me, I would say it got 97%.
All right.
Obviously, I saw it a little different than you guys. I thought the performances were pretty spectacular.
Well, that's awesome. That's pretty much all we've got as far as the plot that I can think of. Ed, did I forget anything?
No, I think it was pretty adequately covered. Wow, I can't talk. Well.
Awesome. Well, we do want to thank some of the emailers that we've been getting. We read some of them on the show, but definitely want to thank Matthew and Jennifer and Santiago and Jimena and Michael and Sarah and Juliana, and I feel like the girl at the end of Romper Room.
I thought of that last week.
I see Logan and Marlena and Hunter.
I was always so depressed because I never heard Jennifer. She would look through her little magic mirror thing, and she never said goodbye to Jennifer.
Want to thank Kelly and Amy and Laura and Becky and Nicole, and all the ones that I'm totally forgetting. Ed, do you have any iTunes reviewers that you would like to thank?
Oh, we got quite a few this week. I'd like to thank you all. Please review, even if it's a bad review. We still appreciate it. Loving Glee, ABC, Cleveland King, Reba, Jen Crook, O Monkey Glee, MC Whammer, Mel 2389, Donkey Phone, No Fear Only Love, Love Glee and Grays, Monkey Fan. I think that's where I was last left off. So thank you all. And if you review us in a different country, I periodically go through all the countries, so I will see it.
Yes, awesome. Someone had emailed us to say that we're doing very well in Canada. So there you go.
Canada. Yay.
That's very cool. And yes, we will, it's going to be definitely sketchy over the holidays, our ability to podcast, but we will try to podcast as much as we can in the couple coming weeks. Maybe take a look back at the episodes we've seen. Definitely give a listen to this Christmas song that the Glee cast released. And maybe check in what's in for the future mm-hmm. of this show that we like so much. That MB show Sing Off is on tonight, so we'll check that out and maybe talk Ooh. About that, because I'm curious about that. This has to have been inspired by Glee.
Yeah, isn't there two shows that are coming out now that are about groups?
I only know of Sing Off on NBC. Do you know the show, Ed?
I have heard of it, but I don't know it, and I probably am not going to watch it.
It's like American Idol for Glee clubs, essentially. But I think they're all a cappella. I don't think there's any backing.
And why else do you especially want to watch this show, Josh?
Well, mainly because I'm a big a cappella music geek, but also because one of the judges is Ben Folds. Come on!
I think that's awesome.
So what is the show called? Sing Off?
Sing Off, yeah. Yeah, I think it's actually on as we're talking, so you probably see it on Hulu, because all of NBC stuff is on Hulu. That's pretty much it for me. Jennifer, you got anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Ed, anything else?
Nope, we're good. I'm excited for season 1.2.
Awesome. Yay. Yes. So if you'd like to email us, please do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can check out our website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. For Gleeful, a Glee podcast, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed. I'm Glee Jazz Hands. I almost forgot completely.
Awesome. Thanks to everyone who we get so many emails that say OM Glee. It's hilarious. And you are a catchphrase genius. Talk to you guys soon.